Mark Jackerman. This report is brought to you by RingCentral, providing easy-to-use cloud phone solutions for your workforce and business communications made simple. For more information, go to ringcentral.com. A crucial game today at Rogers Center, where the Blue Jays, trying to rally from a 1-0 series deficit and even things up, currently tied with the Rangers at 4 as they now head to the 11th at Rogers Center. Texas started things off quickly after taking game one with 2 in the first, but the Rangers came back in the bottom of the inning on a Josh Donaldson solo homer to give them some life. They tied it in the second. Ben Revere broke that tie with a single in the fifth, but Mike Napoli came off the bench with a pinch hit single to tie things up in the eighth, and that's where we stand right now in the 11th, tied at 4. Bottom of the first in Kansas City, the Astros with an impressive start to the postseason and have taken a 1-0 lead on a Colby Rasmus RBI double. The Cubs and Cardinals get underway tonight, and the longtime foes taking their rivalry to another level, meeting in the postseason now for the first time. It'll be John Lackey going up against former teammate John Lester. The Mets and Dodgers cap the day in a battle of division winners. Mets are making their first playoff appearance since 2006. They'll send All-Star Jacob DeGrom to the mound, while the Dodgers will counter with 3-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw. The Mariners today fired manager Lloyd McClendon. The Texans are sticking with Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback after last night's relief performance, and LeSean McCoy said he'll miss 3 to 4 weeks due to a hamstring injury. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Jim Rohman. You are in the Jungle weekdays from 12 until 3 Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. The Sexual Assault Resource Center invites the public to Monster Bash, a family-friendly Halloween festival, on Saturday from noon to 4 at the Pavilion at Central Park. Visit sarcbv.org for more information. Fanthorpe In-State Historic Site in Anderson will host Henry's Wake, Death and Mourning in 19th Century Texas, tomorrow. This nighttime tour will explore 19th century mourning practices while touring one of Texas's best-preserved stagecoach inns. Today, a slight chance of rain, partly sunny in 91, tonight mostly cloudy in 69. It's another high school football Friday night on the Zone. Bryan High takes on A&M Consolidated starting at 7 on Sports Radio 1150. And the Rudder Rangers travel to Willis. And you can hear that game at 7 on the Zone 102.7 FM. For more information, podcasts of the games, and coaches' interviews, visit BrazosFootball.com.
This is Erin Ruthart. Our family heritage for many generations is dairy farming. We spend every day making sure our cows get the best care possible. From the food they eat to the place they sleep, nothing gives us greater pleasure than to spend time with cows at the end of the day. Knowing our milk is the very best we can produce is a great source of pride. Learn more about our family dairy at DairyMax.org. You'll be amazed how much care goes into producing the milk your family drinks. That's DairyMax.org.
Hey-ho, Bigfoot here. You know, mythical creature from the woods. Today I saw something I couldn't believe existed. The new Honda Pioneer 1000. Whoa, man, it's a beast with a best-in-class 999cc engine and the industry's only 6-speed, fully automatic dual-clutch transmission. This thing's real, it's big, and it's here. Check it out at pioneer1000.honda.com.
Pioneers are for drivers 16 years and older. For your safety, read the owner's manual. Wear a helmet and eye protection. Always wear your seatbelt and keep the side nets and doors closed.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Normandy Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
Start the college football weekend each Wednesday at noon with Mitch Light of Athlon Sports on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnavasota.com.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
All the power went out. I don't know what that means. I'm blaming it on Chase, though. Do you think that's a possibility? It's a possibility. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle.
I'm just glad we're back on.
Yeah, I am too.
Give them credit for...
It's brought to you by MSC Opus, and tonight it will be the Swan Brothers at MSC Opus. They start at 7:30. You can still get tickets to that, and best place to find out about that and get all the information is to go to mscopus.org. I'm David Campbell with Richard Kroom, and we're kind of making it up. No Aggie football this week, but you just pointed out when we were off the air, this is about as busy a time in sports as it gets. Stars got started. The NHL in general got started last night.
NHL started Wednesday night. And most of the teams started last night. Yeah. But that's who everyone, if anybody cares about hockey around here, that's the Star. You know, they care about the Stars.
You know, I can go back to being out at Olsen Field when the year that the Stars won the Stanley Cup, and they were announcing.
The year they cheated?
They never cheated. Stars never cheated. They were the Stanley Cup champions. And I remember maybe they were in the crease. That's possible.
Yeah, that's
Maybe, but just maybe. I'm not admitting to anything.
I just don't let the Stars fans forget that, even though I wouldn't. If it was my team that had done the same thing, I'd be perfectly happy with it.
I'd break out the champagne and make them take it away before you did that, which is kind of what they did, to be honest with you.
They got off the ice and said, that's it. We're not coming back.
Yeah, we're bringing the cup out, and we're running around with it. So you guys are out of luck. But I just remember being out at Olsen when the fans just went nuts when they announced the Stars scores out there. And I thought that was cool. I mean, that everybody in the state was kind of into that hockey team. I don't think that's the case now. Stars have been struggling, but they look like they could be a little bit better.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because we came up with a good question the other day was after the Cowboys, what sports organization is probably the most popular among Texans? And I said, because they have no competition, it could be the Stars. But the Stars have to be relevant for that to happen.
Yeah, and I think the NBA probably has some advantages. Texans, I think, are popular in a certain area, but I don't think they're really popular statewide, and they'll never probably be as popular as the Cowboys.
Oh, no way.
If I had to pick one where you're not concentrated into one area, I think it would be the Spurs.
That was the most text we got were for the Spurs.
Because
we asked that question.
I know a lot of Spurs. I'm a fan of the Spurs because of the style of play. I just like the way they play as a team, and so I find myself kind of wanting to see the Spurs win. But I'll be honest with you, and Aubrey and I get into this all the time. We go back and forth on. Aubrey says you've got to have one team and the other team in the state, you got to hate them. You know, that's insane. I mean, I want to see the Astros win. I want to see the Rangers win. I want to see the Rockets. My cutoff line is just outside that border of the state of Texas. I mean, you step outside there, then I don't care whether you win or lose, but I'd like to see the Texas teams win. Whether it's the University of Houston, I might be a little shaky on UTEP, I'll be honest with you. But because it's so far away.
Because it's closer to L.A. than Dallas?
Probably, yeah. That's probably part of the deal. But I don't know.
Well, I grew up in Colorado. They didn't have other professional teams, but – when Aubrey and I talk about this, I say it from my experience, and I wanted Colorado to win. I wanted Colorado State to win. I wanted the Air Force to win. I wanted unless they were playing each other, which then you just, you have to pick a team. Otherwise, I was just hoping Colorado teams would win. Sure. And I mean, professionally, you didn't have that. You didn't have that worry, but in college they did. And although some would say, people don't worry about college football up in Colorado anyway, so which to some extent is true.
Well, at one time, maybe when you were there, it mattered a little bit more.
It mattered a little bit more because Colorado was more prominent in the national scene, which now they're not even in the national scene. They're not even in the Pac-12 scene.
I've said a lot of times before, I'm not an Aggie, so I don't really understand the absolute hate for the University of Texas. I've never quite gotten that. I've never understood why they were the team. I always thought, I mean, around here, Texas is talked about a lot. I mean, people want to know that they've done badly. They want to know that.
Right.
And in Austin, I think A&M gets talked about when Texas is about to play them. You know, I think that's – and they're not playing them right now. Maybe more now because the Aggies are up and the Longhorns are down. So maybe there is some of that. They're turning that thing around. But I don't know. I'm not in Austin, so I don't hear it. But I know when I did live in that city, it was that's pretty much the way the approach was.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if you did a poll with them on like when A&M was relative and Oklahoma was relative at the same time as closely as they could be, because that didn't happen too often. Which team Texas would rather beat, A&M or Oklahoma? I would almost say it was probably would have been Oklahoma. Just because that game seemed, even though A&M Texas was Thanksgiving, that game, the Texas OU game just seemed to get a little bit more national notoriety for some reason. Like I said, I grew up in Colorado. I knew more about that than I would A&M in Texas, the OU Texas games.
Well, I think Texas and Oklahoma was the game, and you know, because they had. I never went to Dallas for any of the pre-game festivities. Right. Now I covered that game a couple of times. In fact, the first time I went into the old Cotton Bowl. And, you know, you've got half the stands that are filled with Oklahoma fans and half the stands filled with Texas fans. I wonder if Texas can fill their half this year the way they're playing right now. But
no, they said they were giving tickets back already.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they'd said that.
And this was quite a long time ago, but I recall at the time learning cuss words that I never knew before. And they're like leaning across the stands yelling at each other. That was unbelievable. I really honestly have never experienced anything quite like that before or since.
Well, we talked about that the other day, and because I had heard if you wanted to any game to see that almost every year, Michigan Ohio State was the game to do that. You know, where the fans were just literally being as nasty as they can to each other. Maybe even a few fisticuffs, but even without fisticuffs, just being nasty to each other, you know. But, you know, I'll say this. My mom, who is 84, probably never followed football too much at all. You know, she's from England, lived in England until she was 31 or 2. When I visited them last night, we were out eating, she looks up to me and she goes, "The Texas team isn't doing very good this year, are they?" And I went, "No, Mom, they're not doing very good this year." And she goes, "Well, what about A&M?" I go, "Well, that's the double thing for Texas fans is A&M's doing well." So, I mean, she's even noted that I think the negativity over there has even spilled over into someone who really doesn't follow football, period, let alone Texas football.
I have coaches, you know, you talk to coaches, and I'm not going to tell you who's made these suggestions, but I talked to some local and area coaches, and sometimes they make suggestions, and one of the coaches told me, "Why didn't Texas just take up the cell phones? You know, what's Chris Boyd doing with a cell phone in the middle of the football game?" You know, and some high schools do that, some high schools choose not to do that. And I also had one of the coaches suggest that if Texas makes a change, he thinks they'll make the change at the athletic director, who might possibly bring a coach in his pocket coming in with him.
Make it a dual thing.
Aubrey kind of gave me a hard time at the beginning of the season because he didn't think there's any way Texas would fire Strong this season. And now I heard him say on the air the other day he's kind of backed off that a little bit. But I thought after the Notre Dame game that Charlie Strong was playing for his job from that point on, that he had to turn things around for that reason.
Now it's not just losses; it's other embarrassing things that are going on, and that's when it really. I mean, that's when you can speed up the exit.
Yeah.
For a coach. I mean, especially when, you know, like you said, most people are probably saying because it's only his second year, but if it's your second year and you're losing and you're embarrassing the school with some things that are happening.
And then, you're losing your team, too, effectively, right?
Then it could happen. And, of course, part of that also, a lot of it depends on whether or not there is that guy that you could go get that you feel you could turn around the program in a year or two.
I'm not sure that guy's out there.
Unless they feel they can go get Kelly, like we talked about earlier.
I think with Shaka Smart, they got the best basketball coach in the nation. I thought that was – and that's my personal
opinion. He's good.
Opinion.
He's already – I saw last night he got a top – top 100 recruit, his first since being there. So
I think
he's on his way.
In some ways, he and Charlie Strong do some things the same way. But I think it's a better fit. I think he's a better fit at the University of Texas maybe than Charlie Strong was. And I'm just not sure Texas has got an answer. They clearly didn't have it last year because Charlie was not their first selection. He's not the guy they planned to go to. They were talking about, and I might have changed that rule about the border of the state of Texas being the teams that I liked at that point had they brought Saban in, because I dislike him so much. But they didn't bring Saban in, and that talk was always fascinating.
Will it happen again? Do you think that'll happen again?
I'm not even sure Texas has got enough money to get Saban at this point. Although maybe Alabama says, okay, he didn't win a national championship, but he still might. Who knows? Who's to say what's going to happen?
If you're Saban's age, do you want to do that? I mean, because by the time you could get him turned around, you know, how many more coaching years is he going to have? Unless he just feels like that's the one challenge he wants.
Well, he's very well paid. The job that I want Calipari's job because Calipari will visit with anybody just so he can get his salary bumped up, and it happens on a fairly regular basis. I like that. That guy, he's a businessman right there. He's taking care of business. This is Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. We're not talking much about the Aggies because the Aggies are off this week. Rangers are in extra innings 4-4. You got the Astros score up there in the 11th.
It was 1-0 in the bottom, going into the bottom of the first, but I have not looked at it since.
And the Astros were the leader in that game, so because it's going to the bottom of the first.
Is 1-0 going to the second.
Okay. All right, so both the Texas teams with opportunities today. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back to talk about a variety of things, and we'll figure out what that is when we return on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, which is brought to you by MSC Opus.
Ice cold, Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming.
You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on.
Now you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain Refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win. Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt and you could be dancing in these aisles. Coors Light here.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules, including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozers should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care of you. For over 60 years, we're the clear leader. Our quality and value keep shining through. For repair and replacement on all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Ah, that's good stuff. We do have power back.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to explain that to some people who have missed us on the first hour.
We literally went dark as we were about to go on the air. I mean, yeah. Every light in this building went out as we were just about to go on the air. We are at the Eagle, and this is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. David Campbell with Richard Kroom. We're both kind of filling in today. We switched things around a little bit today. Aubrey decided that he could pump up the Houston Texans, so he went down to see them last night.
No, he was pumping up the Colts. That's his team.
Oh, okay.
Colts are his team, but he was happy.
I think he got the tickets from the Texans. That's probably not fair. But
either way,
might be wrong. But he departed the. He won't be on the Brian Consall game tonight because of that. Because he's got some stuff working this week, so he's taking off from that. And I'm actually looking forward to that. I'll be working with Mark Green, who's generally on with Mike Wright doing the A&M Consolidated game. So we're going to do those two games together. It'll be both on the Zone tonight and on WTA.
Because you've got the two teams playing each other. And usually have the split crew, and you're having to put it all together.
And I've known Mike for a long time, and of course, following Mike Wright's not exactly hard work. I mean, pretty much anybody could step in and do that, I'm sure. Now, Mike's as good as they get. Mike is as good as they get, and he's a very, very good friend. But we'll try our best. And I've got a little background working with Mike when we were doing A&M Consolidated games. We were talking a minute ago during the break that what an extremely busy time of year it is. Stars got a win last night in their first NHL game last night with Antti Niemi and goal, which is something a little bit different, but that's part of the guys they brought in. They get a goal from a guy they brought in this year too.
They brought in one of my favorite names in hockey, the defenseman from Chicago. His last name is Oduya. Which
Oduya,
you know, yeah,
right.
You just kind of sound like you're like Oduya.
Pretty
Oduya.
Good player.
You know,
pretty
a lot of people
though.
Say that Oduya.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So. Yeah,
I like see,
and he's a good player too. Yeah, so I'll watch the Stars a little bit more.
I would like to see the Stars be relevant again. I'm worried about their play-by-play combo because they had such a good one with Ralph Strangis doing the games. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and see how that works out. And Ralph decided to call it quits. But I'll be listening to the Stars when I get that opportunity to do it because there are certain guys that do play-by-play that I just enjoy listening to.
Yeah.
Brad Sham on the Cowboys would be one of those guys. He's just outstanding. I mean,
and we can segue this into our other news about Vin Scully not doing the Dodgers games this postseason because of a medical procedure, which that's baseball's loss right there. Because
that's everybody's loss. If you like it, like you said,
he's. I'm not a big listen to baseball on radio games. That's not my thing at all. But when I was a kid, yeah, when I was out in L.A. for the year I was out there. And I was a Dodger fan at that time, so it was made a little bit easier. But that was the only time in my life where I've consistently listened to a baseball game almost, you know, every night that they're playing. And a very good part of that was because of Vin Scully.
And you know, it's not.
That was like 30 years ago. And what is it? He's been down there for 60 some odd years now. So, wow. He's 87.
And Vin Scully's as good as you'll ever want to hear. I described to somebody, I remember listening to him when he was calling the radio version of what they were doing in the World Series one time, and I was driving in the car, and I literally drove to the point that I was getting out of range of the station, and I didn't have another station I could put it on.
Yeah.
Turned around. I literally went back so I could listen to him a little bit longer.
Serious days there, right?
No, I'm not joking. Yeah. I really did that, and he was that good. It's like getting a poetry reading and a history lesson combined together. He's absolutely amazing. He's the best baseball broadcaster
I've ever heard. I think you could say he might be the best play-by-play announcer in any sport.
I was a huge fan of the late great Chick Hearn, who did the Los Angeles Laker games too, and I thought
LA had it good, didn't they? If you were wanting to listen, if you wanted to just sit on the beach listen to some sports and take in the ocean hitting the shore.
And you could name your sport, and somebody, they had somebody who's legendary at the, in the broadcasting business to do it. There's a lot of good baseball broadcasts.
I say that because I kind of did that when I was in California for that year. There was a
hanging around the beach.
Well, not the whole time, but that was
waiting for the lights to go out like they do here, right?
Yeah. No, but I did. I got to stay out there for a year, and it was one of the last years that the Cowboys were at Thousand Oaks. That's where I stayed. We were literally in Thousand Oaks, which was was a lot of fun because we went to their practices every day, you know, before the season started.
It's not like I've been to California a lot. I mean, I don't spend a whole lot of time in California.
You don't?
I've been there on occasion, and I love San Diego. I think it's one of my favorite places to go to, and it's just a beautiful, and the weather's temperate all the time. It's just really, really a nice place. But the Cowboys worked out for years and years in Thousand Oaks, California. Now they work out in Oxnard.
Yeah.
I don't know what the cities are like, but if I have a choice, you can go to Thousand Oaks or go to Oxnard.
Well,
I'm going to Thousand Oaks.
Like I said, this was a long time ago when I was there, but when I was there, yes, that's exactly how Thousand Oaks sounded like you just said it, and Oxnard was a little bit like you just said it.
Yeah.
So, you wanted to be Thousand Oaks if you could. Yeah.
Rangers have moved into the 12th inning, by the way. They're still tied 4-4 with the Blue Jays. Astros are what, 3-0?
3-0, we heard, yeah.
You know, they tell you don't give this stuff on the radio.
Not these days. I don't think that's true anymore with how you can
update yourself just
looking at your phone in a second.
I'm just passing it on because I want to know. That's what that's about. Larry's going to come in, and we're going to do the high school report in a minute, but Larry's going to be actually covering the Crosstown Showdown tonight, and I just get to do radio. And
nice.
I hope tonight that it will work as smoothly as this show has done here on Aggie Nation.
I hope for your sake it's a little bit smoother.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic that Mark Green and I will be able to pull that out this evening. But no, I'm actually very, very much looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun game tonight. I think that's going to be one of the more competitive games. And you know, I've been doing this each game in the district, and I've been almost uniformly wrong determining what the really good games are this year.
As far as competitiveness?
Yeah, as far as what's going to be a competitive game. Mm-hmm. Once or twice I've gotten it right, but I look at games around in the area. I think Leon and Lexington could be a lot closer than a lot of people would think. I told Larry at the beginning of the week, I said, you know, hey, Franklin's got the week off, and so everyone in Class 3A can take a breath tonight because Franklin's not going to beat them, that's for sure, because they're not playing tonight. That's a team.
There are a few, maybe it was last week. Was it last week or this week where there were quite a few teams that had byes?
Yeah, a lot of people had byes because districts in the six-team district are beginning this week. Won't get many byes except in those odd districts where you have seven teams in there or five teams in them. So Caldwell still got a bye week ahead, and that's actually the next to last week of the season. And the teams that are playing in that Franklin district will also have byes down the stretch.
When I worked in Victoria, I always felt sorry for the team that, you know, you talked about in those odd teams districts, the team that got the last week bye. If they weren't very good, it was like, well, their season ended even before everybody else.
They didn't even get a chance
to play the 10th week, yeah.
Snook actually has that. So the Blue Jays will hopefully be in the race. They'll hope that they're in the race at that time because four teams going in Class 2A this year. So I don't think high school football still got a lot ahead, and we got a good volleyball being played in this area. So it's a pretty good place to be for high school sports. And looking forward to that tonight.
For us, it's a good week to have that bye week for A&M. We got, and I know I'm going to turn a few people off, USA Mexico Saturday for a big soccer game. It's to advance.
Oh, it is? Really?
Yes. So,
I need to catch up on my soccer.
There's so many tournaments these days. We talked about that before. There's so many tournaments. That's the one thing that turns me off about soccer is that it seems like there's just – like if you're a really good team, you could be playing in five different things at once, and I just think that's kind of a little bit silly. But and that just includes that's your club team. So you could also have guys playing for your national team at the same time. So a little too much for me. But this is a big game for the U.S. and like we talked about in the break. This is, you know, college football's revved up now because most of the games, probably 95% of the games, are conference games, and they mean so much more, and they're going to be so much more competitive than maybe some of the early week games, you know. So that it is a big time in sports. It's a fun time if you can get into baseball. Hockey's, like we said, hockey started. Basketball's in the – at least they're in preseason. So if you need that fix, so even the colleges have started practicing, which we found, you know, which we got to do last week. Start of the college basketball.
Yeah, Spurs were out in Sacramento and lost last night. They,
but they didn't take half their team with them again. He's Popovich is in mid-season form already.
Yeah. well, the Mavericks did that in Houston the other day. I mean, they leave behind three guys, including Dirk Nowitzki. I'm thinking you're not probably taking it seriously if Dirk's not making the trip.
Well, and you know, Dirk's at that age now where he could probably use a few of those Popovich breaks like he gives his players.
All right, then I'm scared to death that at some point the Mavericks are going to say that's enough. We've just got to let you go, Dirk, and he'll end up being starring for the next 8 years with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, he'll just come off the bench and score 15 points a game.
All right, Larry's coming in next, and we'll have the high school report coming up. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Ahead of schedule, new freeway on and off ramps for southbound traffic at Southwest Parkway opened this morning. Message boards are now warning northbound motorists that the on-ramp from Emerald Parkway 2818 will close next Tuesday. Texas A&M Police is reviewing video surveillance around the West Campus garage to determine who placed an orange water cooler containing two wires outside the building. That resulted in blocking the area around Kimbrough and Olson for 90 minutes yesterday afternoon. Lieutenant Alan Barone says assistance was provided by College Station Police Department's bomb squad.
They were able to determine that the suspicious package was safe, and at that point, once it was removed, the all clear was given via code maroon, and all intersections and pedestrian traffic resumed normal in the area.
It's the second time this week the bomb squad assisted with the report of a suspicious package. The Pink Alliance serves the Brazos Valley, supporting local breast cancer patients and to advance breast health and cancer awareness efforts. Their 13th Surviving and Thriving Luncheon was held yesterday, featuring keynote speaker Joan London.
Cancer changed my life in actually a good way. It gave me a purpose-driven life. And if anyone can find that in life, that is a gift.
The luncheon has raised more than $480,000 to support local breast health initiatives, serve breast cancer patients, and further cancer awareness. In high school football action tonight, Rudder heads to Willis with a call on 102.7 FM. And this week's Crosstown Showdown features Brian and Consol on Sports Radio 1150. Pregame starts at 7. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It is time to go back in time. Bud Light invites you to join the fun of the Texas Renaissance Festival beginning Saturday, October the 10th through Sunday, November 29th, including Thanksgiving Friday. Share in the merriment of hundreds of live performances, the taste of over 1,000 foods, and the fun of dozens of games and rides. Only a 50-acre theater could contain this much adventure. Tickets are now on sale at texrenfest.com. Don't miss the legendary revelry of the Texas Renaissance Festival. Brought to you by Bud Light. Huzzah!
Can you see clearly while driving? If your vision is hindered by chips and cracks in your windshield, come see Acme Glass today at either one of our two locations. Or if time won't allow, Acme Glass can come to you with their mobile on-site installation. Acme Glass also offers state inspections and free chip repair and lifetime warranty on your windshield purchased from Acme. With over 60 years of service in the Brazos Valley, that's Acme Glass.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Your home for Houston Texans football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Defense! Defense!
Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Very appropriate, because I think defense could decide the crosstown showdown tonight. Larry Bowen is here. What do you think, man?
I was just thinking that in last year's game, in which a total of 100 points were scored, 56 to 44, there wasn't a lot of defense. Yeah.
But that interception by Cal Malone, who will be playing in tonight's game, was probably the turnaround game. But there was an enormous amount of offense before Cal got to that interception.
Right. I think you're right, David. I think defense is going to have a lot to say tonight, actually for both teams. And I tried to touch on that a little bit in the preview story. And obviously I haven't got to see the Vikings, but I've listened to some of your broadcasts. I've talked to you about the team. And it appears to me, and I think you and I are in agreement on this, that both teams last week got exactly what they needed. Brian had a really good night offensively, running the ball, and Consolidated had by far its best defensive effort. Now, those games were against Huntsville and against Willis, two teams that are basically considered in the middle of the pack in the district. So you don't know exactly what it means. But I do think it's interesting that both teams did those things that you would want to do going into this game. Consolidated would have wanted to shore up the defense and feel good about its defense. Brian certainly would have wanted to get the running game going, particularly because they've had success with that in the past against Consolidated. So I think that is just an interesting backdrop, what the two teams did last week. I feel like, having covered Consolidated, I think they are better defensively than what you have seen in the past couple of years, primarily because they haven't been hit by as many big plays. Yeah. You remember last year...
You're still not predicting a 14-12 game.
No. Yeah. But you remember last year, even in the Crosstown Showdown, the thing that happened with them is they had been giving up big plays all year to guys who are those 4-4-4, you know, kind of guys who were, you know, the quarterback from Elkins that gave them such fits. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, went to Tech to be a receiver, you know, that kind of an athlete. But it was different last year because Kiki Johnson was a special player. He was making big plays even though he was, you know, a big guy. A lot of people over at Tigerland Stadium last year were reminded of Cliff Gross when they saw Kiki, even down to the number 33.
Yeah, we even had photos of how much they looked alike, right?
But they made big plays even though Kiki is not a little scat back type. So the big plays have been problematic.
He's a huge scat back.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But those have been problems, and they have cut down on those this year. I would think, looking at the numbers and everything, you got to figure, is Consol's run defense going to be able to hold up? Because I know that David Raffield really respects both the offensive and defensive lines for Brian. He really feels like Brian has the best defensive line in the district. But the offensive line came together some last week. Ross Rogers told me that when I talked to him yesterday. You've obviously watched the games and seen that.
Well, Larry, they've been shuffling.
He said they had been moving people for weeks, and he said he really felt like they kind of got got it together last week. And
well, I think their key in their offensive line is Colton Campbell, the sophomore, has come out there, and he's moved in to fill in for Cecil Banks, who was lost to a knee injury in the second game of the season. And then with him in there, they've kind of been able to kind of get the other guys, find the right spots for everybody else. And they're not going to move Jared Spivey. This guy's a tremendous center. But the other guys were interchangeable parts for a while. Junior Guerrero missed for a week. But they were really happy with what they did last week. But that's 1 week. We'll see.
Well, in Consolidated's part of Consolidated's improvement, I think a big part of it is I'm anxious to see or eager to hear what you say after you see the game tonight. Colby Peel is just a sophomore. Kid's playing safety for them.
Right, but you guys were impressed with him from the first time he took the field.
But he's a playmaker. He had a huge night last week in Willis, and obviously that cuts down on the big plays when you have a mistake eraser back there. But the thing that has probably helped him is the young man that I wrote the feature about this week, Jaden Drisdale. He's good size, 6'2", 265, and he's been making some plays. Before the season, David Raphael said, you know, they really thought he was going to be a big-time player. So he helps him having a guy on the nose, having a guy up front that can play.
That ought to be fun to see him and Spivey going against each other.
Absolutely. I think that's a good matchup. Now, you mentioned the changes that Brian has had to make because of the injuries. We want to go ahead and talk about this in case people – I can't imagine that they wouldn't have read our preview story in the paper today, but in case they didn't, I think it's really significant that Tyree Merchant – A&M Consolidated senior running back, still the leading rusher on that team, and I think third or fourth in the district, even though he's basically missed parts of two games and all of last week, and he's still at that position. Now, granted, there's nobody like Kiki Johnson this year. The rushing totals in the district are down overall. Nobody has a lot, but he's big threat. He ran for over 200 yards last year against Bryan and led them in the comeback. And he's not playing.
And got the edge often. Right. He really did a good job.
And he's Robert Franklin, the young man, is a
He had a great game last year.
He ran for 105 yards on 15 carries, ran very well, ran tough, and ran hard. He's not the breakaway threat that Merchant is. Merchant has more of a wiggle and more speed. So I think that plays in a little bit as well. And the thing that I think the X factor for Consolidated is Mason Hickson, the senior quarterback, little lefty. He's a good athlete, and he's had a tendency to be very, very good at stretches and then struggle sometimes. When he's on, they have a deep receiving core. You know, they don't have Kerry Thomas or Derek Dick or somebody like that.
Daniel Sibney.
But they have good guys. Cade Williams, Keenan Williams, Tony Williams. If you're not Williams, you can hardly play. Rodney Jernigan.
Kind of like the Johnsons for a long time.
Rodney Jernigan Bryant caught the 61-yard touchdown pass with 2 minutes left that beat Huntsville. And He has some weapons.
Jernigan also had a touchdown catch last week,
right,
too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So he has some weapons. And I think if Mason is on target, they feel like, and I'm not trying to offend anybody at Bryan or any other school, and I'm sure a lot of teams feel like this, but the guys at Consol, Brian Cope and David Raphael and all those guys, they feel like if they just execute their stuff, they're going to move the ball and they're going to score. You know, they do a good job of spreading the field. I think Merchant not being in there takes away a little bit of that spreading the field. But I talked to Ross Rogers yesterday. He said Consol is going to do basically their goal, their approach is the same thing that Brian's approach is, which is going to stretch you 53 yards one way and 100 yards the other way. You're going to make you spread out and try to make plays. I think not having Merchant is a factor, and I think that makes the accuracy that Mason Hixon has tonight in his passing, I think that makes that even a bigger factor.
And we'll see two good running quarterbacks, too. Hixon's run the ball really well.
Right.
B.J. Ross is an excellent running quarterback as well. That gets a lot of what Brian does going.
And David Raphael said very clearly that B.J. Ross, he just considers B.J. Ross the leader of that offense. And he said if you don't contain him and don't, if you let him get loose and do things, you'll be in for a long night. I think, David, I don't know, I did not see what score you picked today, but I will say this. I think you and I both agree it has the possibility of being an exciting, competitive game. It would not surprise me at all if it was a 30-27 game or a 30-28 game or 27-24. I don't think we'll...
Nothing would surprise me about that game.
Yeah.
It could be insanely high scoring.
Yeah.
They could hold it down a little bit. I just don't know.
I think they could be... I think they are pretty close. If you look at what they've done, I don't know. I think we're going to be in for a fun night of football.
All right. The couple of other... local teams playing tonight. Homecoming for College Station. Obviously, they played really well against Rutter last week, and I just can't imagine Livingston's coming in here. David Caddy's an excellent running back, but I don't see them doing anything against that College Station defense. And I think the Cougars can run up some big offense as well.
Ryan, I talked to Steve Huff yesterday, and he's, you know how the coaches are. We're playing every Friday night for a championship, and that's the approach, but that approach has worked. And the thing to watch, David, is any team that would want to have upset hopes against them, it's like in the baseball playoffs, like your Rangers or my Astros. You know, you get an early lead, and it makes everything better. It just makes life better. Well, you know what? The game I went over to cover in Elgin, College Station was leading 27-0, not even 6 minutes into the game. They scored 35 points in the first quarter last week against Rutter. So I told Coach Huff, whatever he's telling them, he needs to record that pregame message and keep playing it, because Lord have mercy, those guys are coming out of the gate smoking, and I would be really shocked if they didn't do it. You know, if there's any tendency to overlook Livingston, which they haven't shown that they're the type of team to overlook people, if there is any, I think homecoming and a big crowd and all those things probably work in their favor.
All right, the other game is a Rutter on the road at Willis. You saw Willis last week. It's a really important game, I think, for Rutter for snapback reasons after that season, because they were doing some really positive things going into that College Station game. And for Willis, they can't start 0-3 and make the playoffs, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I don't know what to think about Willis, David. I just didn't think they played well against Consolidated last week. I expected a lot more out of Willis coming off losing their district opener and coming back home. I just thought Willis would do more. They are athletic. David Raphael told me that he felt like the Willis offensive line was the best offensive line they'd seen all year. Well, when I talked to Dale Williams, the defensive coordinator, he mentioned how good the Richmond Foster offensive line was, and Fort Bend Elkins had a good offensive line, but they all agreed that Willis has a very good athletic offensive line. And then how do you juxtapose that with the fact that Consolidated played its best defensive game of the year? I just didn't think Willis had that spark. And I think you felt the same way about Huntsville last week against Bryan. And I know that when you talk to the coaches, and sometimes they'll say, well, this team, they gave us their best shot, and the next week they didn't quite have it in them. So you're right. Willis can't afford to go 0-3.
And just because of who they played, it's critical for Rutter too, I think.
Right. Oh yeah. And I'd like to see Rutter bounce back, because I do feel like Will Compton and those guys have got it headed in the right direction. And I think we were both shocked that College Station won so convincingly last week.
I like to ask the tough questions. I went out to Will Compton the other day and I said, what happened? And I thought that was a decent question, but he actually gave me a reasonable answer.
Okay.
All right, one more game I want to talk about. There are actually several good games. A lot of people are opening district tonight. You wrote about Centerville and Lovelady earlier in the week, and that's 0-5 against 5-0 in a really good game. But it's also the Battle of the Bell tonight. Yeah. Cameron and Rockdale are playing tonight in Rockdale. Those two teams played twice last year. Rockdale won in the regular season, and in the quarterfinals, Cameron won. They went on to win the championship. There's so many elements that come into that game, but I think it's a hard game to call. I think the experience is clearly there for the Yeoman, but what a great game, and what a great tradition to have that Battle of the Bell. By the way, despite that quarterfinal game, Rockdale didn't give up the bell. They still got it.
I was going to ask if there is an expiration date on that bell. I would think this year, I mean, no offense to either of those teams, I'd say it would be very unlikely that they would both reach a quarterfinal round again this year and play each other.
I'm not ruling it out.
It's not impossible, but it's certainly less likely than it was last year. But I hope they have something on paper, you know, with a notary public saying, whoever wins the regular season game keeps a bell, or if there's a rematch in the playoffs, the bell's back up for grabs. We can't have that just dangling out there, David. I don't know, you can make the call, but somebody's got to make a decision.
You know, part of this was the problem of the way Georgetown set it up last year, but when I was over covering that game in the quarterfinals in Georgetown last year, I don't know that I've ever been to a high school game quite like that, because everybody was coming in on that single file road. It looked like Field of Dreams, people coming in here, and I know Rick Rhodes, the Cameron coach, told me his wife didn't arrive for the game until the second quarter of that game. That's how backed up traffic was. So I'm thinking you might want to, if you're headed to Rockdale tonight, arrive early.
Okay, there you go. As we finish up, what do you tell me? Give me a key. Give me a pick. Whatever you want to say about Crosstown Showdown tonight.
I'm as baffled as anybody. You wrote the story. I think it's going to be a good game. I think, Brian.
I noticed you said you think it's going to be a good game. You didn't think my story was good.
Your story was good too, but I do think that it's going to be a tremendously close game. I've been wrong about that before. I've never been very good at picking this game. A lot of times I've gotten it wrong over the years. I picked Bryan to win in a close game, and I based a lot of that over the fact that I thought they were going to have fits over at Huntsville, and they didn't. They played extremely well.
The last thing is, what about just going to the game and calling in on the radio and then getting in your car and driving home? You don't have to write a story tonight.
That is the way my life should work for the rest of eternity. But you're going to be doing a story tonight, and we'll read
about it tomorrow.
We'll check it out, and you will hit on those key points, every one of them, I'm sure.
Not likely.
That's the goal, at least. Larry, thanks. We'll see you at the game tonight. I was actually over there earlier today. The TV folks are setting up.
I bet I'll be out in the bleachers.
You can come in there with us, and as long as you sit in the back. All right, Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. That's the High School Report, which is brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozier. And you can call Kelly Burt Dozier at 778-1902, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And we'll be back to find out what's coming up in the Eagle this weekend when we return after this.
Welcome to the Bible Minute, brought to you by the BCS Church of Christ. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." This plain language is inspired of God. If you don't believe in God, then you're a fool. As Romans chapter 1, verse 20 declares, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Yes, there is no excuse for not believing in God, because the evidence is all around. Trees, oceans, mountains, clouds, stars, and animals of every type, the human body, etc. Some amazing design plans the existence of a creator. See Psalm 19. The Bible Minute is a work of the BCS Church of Christ, located on Highway 30. Find out more information at bcschurchofchrist.com. That's bcschurchofchrist.com.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25.
25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth, get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
All right, we're here for the final section before we head over to the high school football game. And Kelly Brown, our editor here at the Eagle, has come in. And Kelly is one of the rare people that when the lights went out, when all the electricity went out here at the Eagle, she got to hear me, my I thought, outstanding rendition of Turn Out the Lights, The Party's Over.
Okay, I don't recall.
Oh, you weren't in here, maybe. Maybe somebody else was here. Huh? It's dark, I couldn't see.
Well, then did you notice the Segway music that
it was good.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
You guys handled it under pressure very well, so thank you, and thanks to the listeners that are still out there, maybe not, for putting up with this. Obviously, we had no control over it, but here's the deal. What you need to do is watch this transition. Go right, power up your laptops or your iPhones, go online and check out all the different events that are going on this weekend. If you go to theeagle.com or myaggienation.com, you'll see that there are many, many things going on. We've got Boonville Days tomorrow, so if you want to eat at a Chuck Wagon, Richard Kroom, I suggest you do that.
If he takes the back way over to Willis, he can probably find an original Chuck Wagon still in action.
Probably. But the food be as good. These guys are pretty good chefs, from what I understand. That's from noon to one, and it's over at the Brazos Valley Museum over there off Briarcrest, okay? And it is, it lasts most of the afternoon, but you want to get the Chuck Wagon between 12 and 1 o'clock. There's also Monster Bash, which is at Central Park, and that is benefits the Sexual Assault Resource Center, and that is a family fun event. There'll be a costume contest. There's a pumpkin pie eating contest. There's lots of prizes for kids. So if you have kids, or you just want to come out there and check this out, there will be activities for most of the afternoon. So it starts about 12 o'clock and it goes till about 4 or so. So definitely check that out.
I like that if you have kids. And I've always thought it would be a cool thing to start like a rent-a-kid thing, because there are certain things you kind of want to take kids to, but if you don't have little kids anymore, you feel guilty about going.
That's weird, David.
It is.
I appreciate the sentiment, since I don't have any children. I don't rent them, but I take my nieces and nephews.
That's the way to do it.
As often as I can.
That's the better way to do it.
And I mooch in on my friends' kids, and I'll be like, they're like, take them. Take them out of the house right now. Take them wherever you can.
Not that we don't love our kids. Love our kids.
No. You've been lucky. You have children. Rich has children. I'm pointing at Rich because he's in here without headphones on. But anyway, we also have some news out of Texas A&M. For those who have been following this little drama playing out in Washington, D.C. in terms of getting a new Speaker of the House, if you read the Eagle online today or in print, you would see that an Aggie class of 1976, Bill Flores, who lives in Bryan, his name is being brought up in for that position. Is it? Will it actually happen? I don't know. But he says he's honored to be mentioned, and he is thinking and praying about whether or not to put his name in the hat. But maybe an announcement will come this weekend. But we know that there's some fierce competitors out there.
Yes.
That the national TV is focusing on right now. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
I don't need that pressure, so good luck to you, Bill Flores. And so I'm not going to do it. I think we've had enough today. But thanks to everybody who's gotten us through today.